Please take your Bibles and be finding your place in the 12th Psalm, Psalm chapter number 12 this morning. Now in this Psalm, David was still a fugitive on the run. And at some point during those 14 years, David got discouraged. He got very disheartened and he cries out to God for help. Deceit had deepened during those days in church. This psalm is invaluable instruction for you and I in how to remain pure in deceitful times. Well, we're going to look at Psalm 12 in three parts. In verses 1, 2, and 8, David's complaint offered. In verses 3, 4, and 5, we'll see David chastises offenders. And then in verses 6 and 7, we'll wrap up our thoughts on Psalm 12 by seeing David's confidence observed. Now, in the first sermon in this psalm, we focused on the prayer of David in verse number 1 when he said, "Help, Lord." And we noted that it is a digest prayer, just two words, "Help, Lord." But my friend, I want to tell you, that is the very best prayer that can be offered because it throws us closer to God and Father from self, from a place of independence to a place of dependence, which is the precise position of palatableness for any and all who would be perfected by the potter. Prayer. It's mentioned over 415 times in Scripture. Prayer, it changes things. Prayer, it is to be first of all. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. He said, "I exhort therefore," watch this, "that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks is to be made for all men." My friend, the most important part of a Christian's life is prayer. The most important part of Christian ministry is prayer. So if you found your place there in Psalm 12, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and stand with me at this time, and we're going to read through this psalm together as a congregation. Psalm 12, starting in verse 1. Everybody ready? The Bible says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?' For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, the title of this series, Purity in Deceitful Times. Well, this morning we're going to continue to focus on these words, "Help, Lord." Brother Scott, there is so much more we can still learn from that as we look at the particulars of the prayer. Well, we've seen that it is a digest prayer. Number two this morning, not only is it a digest prayer, it is also a desirous prayer. David said, "Help, Lord." Now, that's desire. Not compulsion and not concern, but desire, flaming desire. Now, there's nothing wrong with compulsion, and there's nothing wrong with concern. But, Brother Matt, a prayer of desire will drive us to the very steps of the throne of grace. Friend, if you really want to move heaven on your behalf, then just as soon as the desire of your soul is strong, that's when you have to drop to your knees and pray, "Help, Lord." The Bible says this in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer, not a flailing prayer, but the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't let that desire fade, because it will. Don't quench the spirit. But when the burden of your heart is strong, you have to stop whatever you're doing and pray. And there's nothing better you can do at that moment. We need desirous prayers. And Brother Bryan, in order to have them, you and I, we must learn to pray on God's time, not on our time. We must be earnest. We must be regular in prayer. I read the story of some early African converts to Christianity. And these believers, they had a separate spot in the thicket where they would go and just pour out their heart and soul to God. And over time, the paths to these places became well-worn. I think about a spot in our yard. We have four vehicles that we try to fit into our driveway. It's just not big enough, so we have to cut through the yard in order to get all the cars in the driveway the way that we need to. And over time, that place in the grass has become well worn. And that's the way it was with these early African converts. They went to a place in the thicket. They each had their own place, and they went so often that that path became well worn. And if one of those believers began to neglect prayer, it soon became apparent to everyone else. And then they would encourage the negligent one, saying this, "Brother, the grass grows over your path." Don't let the grass grow over your path. Don't let the grass grow over the desire of your petition. Do you hear what I'm telling you this morning? One way we can prevent the grass from growing over is to do exactly like those early African converts to Christianity did, and that is to be regular in prayer. A man of God said this. He said, "If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith." You say, "Preacher, but my desire to pray is just not that strong." That's probably because you're not praying very much. Be earnest. Be regular. And watch the effectualness of your prayers blossom. Friend, earnest prayer is genuine prayer. So many are the strangers to sincere prayer. I'm talking about an effectual outpouring of our heart and soul to God. Too many, far too many, are just content with a little lip service, mumbling over a few words aimlessly rather than having that urgency. Friend, when we have urgency, then our soul will waste itself rather than going without the good desired. Away with canned prayers that are intended to fit everybody and end up fitting nobody. More prayers that spring out of the spirit and less prayers that are roused out of rehearsal. If we want to develop desirous prayer in our life, prayers like, "Help, Lord," then we must start implementing these principles. My friend, the theme of our prayers are to be centered about what's going on in our life. The temperature of our prayers are to be fueled by the burden in our heart. And the target of our prayers needs to be right at Jesus. Follow those principles and watch the desire of your prayer grow. Oh, happy day when we quit worrying about how we sound, when we quit worrying about what others are thinking about our prayer, when we quit worrying about the length of our prayer, and when we start worrying about the fire in our own belly about our prayer. Desire. Oh, God, give it to us. Away with these lifeless prayers. David said, "Help, Lord." And And he could care less what anybody else thought about him. He had been deceived. He had been flattered. He had been betrayed so many times that the only place David had a desire for was right by the faithful side of God. Men will not help me. Oh God, be thou my helper. Help, Lord. David said this in Psalm 89 and verse number 13. He said, thou hast a mighty arm, a strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Church, pray, and pray with fire. Not only is the prayer, help, Lord, not only is it a desirous prayer, it is a digest prayer. Number three, I want you to see that it is a distinct prayer. Now, it's very clear what David's request was for. David said, help. And then he went on to describe that request for help in a very specific way. Look at verse number one. David said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. I mean, there's no way to misunderstand that request of David. It'd be hard to come away after reading that and say, man, what exactly was that guy praying about? David's prayer was precise. And church, so should our prayers be. After hearing many, many public prayers over many, many years, I have from time to time found myself scratching my head wondering, what in the world was that prayer about? Brother Matt, our prayer should be plain. And when we get through praying, any and everybody within earshot should have a very clear idea of what our petition was about. I mean, what is the purpose of vagueness? Who's edified by that? Don't say, Lord, bless us, but communicate how you want the Lord to bless us. Lord, give us 5 new families this year. Be distinct in your prayer. Something else, our prayers to God. So don't spend all of your time rehearsing what has happened. That's what testimony is for. God already knows the situation. But prayer, that's to be distinct. The same thing with doctrine. God knows the doctrines of this book better than anybody else. So don't spend all of your time rehearsing doctrine with God. That's what study is for. Are you listening? Friend, we don't pray to impress God with our experience. He already knows that. And we don't pray to inform God about doctrine. He authored it, for crying out loud. My friends, we pray not to inform God, not to impress God, but we pray in order to invite God. And we invite the help of God with distinction, not dubiousness. David said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. That is a pointed prayer. We need to pray pointed prayers. Be distinct. Say, Lord, bless us financially according to thy word. Lord, meet our needs because we have been faithful to give thy tithe. Our prayer should remind God of his promises, not teaching him doctrine. There's a difference. Our prayer should remind God of his promises. That's proper, and the request should always be made very specifically. That's how David prayed. Our prayer should reflect that which has caused us thought. Our prayer should reflect that which comes out of our soul. And my friend, it is high time in the house of God that we repent out of the prayers that slip out of an empty head and an emotionless heart. Make prayer distinct. Make prayer desirous. It is a digest prayer. It was short. It is a desirous prayer. There was earnestness and regularness about it. It is a distinct prayer. It was very specific. Number four, I want you to see that it is also a directional prayer. Look at it. David said, help, Lord. When David cried out for help, David went to heaven. His hope was harnessed. It was aimed right at the Holy One of Israel. David did not look to the left or to the right to see if there was any man that could help him. David also did not look within to see if there was some plan, some scheme, some method that he could come up with to solve his problem. And David didn't look down at his hands and at his feet to see if he could fix the problem or if there was something he could run away from the situation that was ailing him. No. David looked straight up. He looked straight up into heaven and he cried, "Help, Lord." It is a directional prayer. The prayer was aimed right at heaven's King, Jehovah God. And so, my friends, I tell you this morning, set your sights and shoot straight. Because if you want to have any success with God in prayer, my friend, you got to learn to cut right to the chase. You got to learn to quit beating around the bushes and look into anyone or anything else but God. Look steadfastly up to thy God and cry with David, say, "Help, Lord. God, you must help, or all is lost. God, you must help, or there is no hope. God, you must help, or everything's going to fall apart." Give direction, give aim to your prayers. And make that aim sure. Target the Lord Jesus Christ with your prayers. Let me give you a verse, John chapter 16 and verse 26. Jesus said, "At that day ye shall ask in my name." Now, David did not know the name of Jesus Christ, but we do. So pray, pray in Jesus' name, the great mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "So there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." See, friend, there's one man in heaven clothed in flesh today, and that is Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I also want you to see that there is only one medium between God and man when it comes to prayer, and that is Jesus Christ. No psychics, no palm readers, no enchanters, no prayer beads, no prayer chains. One mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. For there is one mediator between God and man. It is Jesus Christ. We need to pray in Jesus' name. If we fail to do so, there's no praying at all. The direction of our prayers must be toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what an advantage we have over David today. David may not have known the name of Jesus. He may not have seen the bullseye as clearly as we do. But I tell you what, he probably aimed his prayers better than we do. I think about a verse in John 9:41. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and he said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But because ye say ye see, therefore your sin remaineth." Oh, do you get the weight of that when it comes to the principle of prayer? We know the name of Jesus. We know he's the access to the Father. We know he's the only way to the throne of grace. We say we see, but when we don't pray, oh, the sin remaineth. Friends, don't ask others to pray for you until you have first taken your own prayers to God. The prayer is direct. "Help, Lord." That's not going to the preacher. That's not going to a priest. That's not going to a pope. No, no, and no. That is straight to God. "Help, Lord." One man said this, "God never denied that soul anything that went as far as heaven to ask for it." If a man were hungry, Brother Al, would he go to JCPenney's to ask for help? Of course he wouldn't. And during those times when we need help, We shouldn't seek first the external clothing of family and friends, but in those times when we need help, my friend, we should first seek the internal soul-satisfying sustenance of the weapon of all prayer. David said, "Help, Lord." If a man runs a race and he wants to win that race, that man better run straight forward. And if you and I want to enjoy any success with heaven, then the direction of our prayers must be straightforward. In that direction, we need to run straight to the throne of grace. Don't waste your time knocking on the door of human help. Oh, please help me. Oh, please pray for me. There's nothing wrong with getting the saints of God to pray for you. But my friend, those are human helps. We need to go straight to the throne of grace. Apply the principle of importunity. Quit knocking on the door of human help and start knocking on heaven's door until you have worn out your welcome at the feet of the Son of God in prayer. And I don't even think that's possible. Amen. David knew the one to whom he was speaking. It was a directional prayer. He said, "Help, Lord, give direction to your prayer. Go directly to Jesus Christ." Number five, it was also a dependent prayer. It's no wonder that our pews are void of dependency today when the pulpits are void of dependency today. Do you know what we have? Pathetic, prayerless pulpits. I'm afraid the pride of learning is against dependent humility of prayer. Prayer with the pulpit is far too often not the mighty force it was in the life of the Apostle Paul. One man said this, "Every preacher who does not make prayer a mighty factor in his own life is a weak factor in the work of God, and he remains powerless to project the cause of God in this world." Wow. Every time I preach, every time, all morning long, I'm asking God for help. "Help, Lord. I need your help. Father, I can't do this without you. It's not in me to do this." And God's been faithful to answer that prayer. In answer to the request, the desirous, directional, dependent request of "Help, Lord." This afternoon, getting ready for Sunday night, all afternoon, I'm going to be saying, "Help, Lord. I need your help in this, Lord. I need you to lead my thoughts. I need you to guide my thoughts. Help me to be true to the Scripture. Help me to say what I need to say the way I need to say it, to not say anything I don't need to say. But most of all, Lord, help me to lift up Jesus Christ to the congregation. Help, Lord." Totally dependent upon God. The attitude of David here was, "Lord, I leave it all up to you. Lord, I need you yourself to come help. Lord, fix this mess. Bear this load. Change that heart. Work out this problem. Lord, this surpasses all of my power. Please help, Lord." Self-sufficiency squashed and divine dependency declared. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." Bankruptcy. "Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. An empty hand that is open to the throne of grace. God, I have nothing. God, I need nothing but your all." David had come to the end of himself. And Brother John, David was no weakling at all. Let me give you a verse in Luke chapter 1 and verse 51. The Bible said, He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath He sent empty away. In other words, if you come to God full, you're going to leave Him empty. But if you come to God empty, then you'll leave His presence full. How do you approach God? Is it with an empty hand or with a full hand? Help, Lord. Dependence. Weakness. This man, David. David lived in the elements for 14 years. This man had butchered a bear with his own bare hands. He had lynched a lion with his own limbs. And one day, when the entire Israelite army was cowering in the face of Goliath the giant, out from the shepherd's field comes Jesse's little ruddy-faced boy approaching the fearful King Saul. And the Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 35. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it, the sheep, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, shall even be as one of those, the lion and the bear, for he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Now I'm telling you, they don't come any bolder and braver than David. This superhero stuff you see on TV, it can be entertaining at times, but my friend, David with his own bare hands took down a lion and a bear. But in Psalm 12, Brother Doug, he said, Help, Lord. Now, I may be wrong in my supposition, and if I am, come correct me after service. But I don't think anyone in here has ever taken on a lion or a bear out in the wild without weapons and won and slew them. But David did. And if David had to cry, Help, Lord, what makes you so confident? How in the world at this point in your life had you never cried out, Help, Lord? You say, But I do, preacher. I'm dependent upon God. I depend upon God, yet I forsake His house. I'm a Sunday morning only Christian. I depend upon God, yet you couldn't find me in the prayer meeting night at the church with a search warrant. I depend upon God, preacher, but I neglect to read His word throughout the week. I depend upon God, yet I don't give financially to support His cause down at the local church. I depend upon God, but my prayer life is nothing to write home about. But I'm dependent upon God. You bet, preacher. Friend, you couldn't sell that at a fictional bookstore. David said, Help. Help, Lord. Many things in this life we just can't handle. Sincerely say with David, Help. Help, Lord. We need to rely on God. Brother Scott, when we rely on organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely on education, we get what education can do. When we rely on eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely on prayer, my friend, we get what God can do. And that's what you and I need. My friend, we need God. Men don't ask for things unless they need them. And I promise you, this life will cause you to seek the help of heaven. David said, "Help, Lord." It is a dependent prayer. One man said the central significance of prayer is not the things that happen as a result of our prayer, but the central significance of prayer is in the sense of God's need in order to call on God's help to meet that need. What you and I need is Jesus Christ. We need Him, not help. He is the help that we need. Not only is this prayer David, "Help, Lord," not only is it short, it's a digest prayer. Not only is it earnest, it is a desirous prayer. Not only is it very specific about the faithful failing among the children of men, it is a distinct prayer. Not only is it aimed right at Jesus Christ, a directional prayer. Not only is the need found in God and God alone, it is a dependent prayer. Number six, I want you to see finally this morning that it is also a doing prayer. The prayer, "Help, Lord," is a dependent prayer. Yet, it is also true that in that prayer, there's the subtle inference of a lot of doing. It's been well said that when we pray, we are to pray as if everything depends upon God and then go out and do as if everything depends upon you. "Help, Lord." This prayer indicates, it hints, that the one offering the prayer is not just going to sit still and do nothing. You remember on the cross of Calvary, toward the very end, as Jesus was hanging in the balance between heaven and earth, the sacrifice for sin, offering Himself for the sin debt of the entire world. As Jesus hanged there, right toward the end, He said these three words. He said, "It is finished." Do you remember that? Salvation is free. Jesus paid the debt of sin in full. It is finished. Free salvation in Jesus Christ. Yet when we get saved, the Bible tells us to run the race with patience. Now that's doing. That's action. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, He said, "Son," He's speaking to somebody in the family of God. He's speaking to somebody that's been birthed into the family of God. "Son," this man saved. Jesus says, "Son, go work today in My vineyard." It is a doing prayer. And here's what that means. Don't ask God for a job if you're not going to go out and look for one. Don't ask God to fill this church if you're not going to go out there and verbally give out the gospel and implore others to come in. Don't ask God to meet the financial needs of this ministry, to meet the financial needs of your family, if you aren't going to give. Don't ask God to save your children if you're not going to teach them the Bible at home. That's your job. Don't ask God to save your children if you're not going to teach them the Bible at home and if you're not going to get them to the house of God every time that you possibly can. Don't ask God to work to save your loved one's heart that is hard. Don't ask God to help them if you're not going to burn the midnight oil in prayer for them regularly. God works with us. That's why we invite Him. Let me give you a key verse in closing. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, "For it is," watch this, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do." And so when I pray, "Help, Lord," it is implied that if there is anything I can do in regards to that prayer, then Brother Matt, I do it. And then I am resting on Jesus Christ to answer that prayer in accordance to His good will and His good pleasure. Put some feet on your prayers. Well, for the first 2 weeks in Psalm 12, we've camped out on those first two words, "Help, Lord." And we've learned some valuable lessons about prayer. I pray that you've been able to use them and you will start incorporating them into your life. It's a digest prayer. More importantly, it's a desirous prayer. Be earnest. Be regular in your prayer. You say, preacher, I get up every morning and pray. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. Jesus said, men ought always to pray. We ought to be praying throughout the whole day. Does that mean we need to get aside in the closet and pray? No, but you can lift up a prayer, whisper a prayer in your heart. You know how many times I've been in a situation, facing a situation, and I needed the help of God in that moment? I could say, well, just wait a minute, let me pray, and I'll get right back with you. But in my heart, as I'm listening, as I'm getting ready to react, as I have to act, in my heart, I am lifting up my soul to God and asking Him for help. We have to be earnest. We have to be regular in our prayer from sun up to sundown. Our mind toward God, we have to be distinct, be specific. Lord, help our family. What if somebody said that to you? What would you say? How do you need me to help? Be specific with your Heavenly Father. He's a good God. It's a directional prayer. Your prayer's got to go right at Jesus. Nothing wrong with getting others to help pray for you, my friend. You got to go here first. All these prayer chains, I'm not saying discard them, but if you're doing that in more emphasis into the neglect of going to Jesus Christ, there's something out of balance in your life. You need to go directly to Jesus Christ, and you need to depend on Him. It is God that is your help, and if there's anything you can do, my friend, you need to do it. Let's go ahead and stand as we get ready for the invitation. Church, prayer is the spiritual dynamo for Christianity. Prayer is the spiritual dynamo in your Christian life. Can I ask you this morning about your spiritual life? Is it explosive or is it a dud? Prayer, or the lack thereof, is the difference maker. Friend, God invites us to pray. God encourages us to pray 415 times in Scripture. And God commands us to pray. Surely He wants to answer. Surely He wants to answer. There are some things in your life you need to pray about today. I'm going to invite you to come down during this invitation and start taking those things to the Lord. There are some burdens on your heart this morning you need to pray about today. Won't you come pray now? Won't you be earnest? Won't you be regular? Won't you be instant in prayer? There's some relationship problem, some health problem going on. There's an issue at the job. You need more money. You need a raise. I don't know, relationship problem going on at the job. You need clarity of thought concerning a decision that has to be made. There's things you need to pray about this morning. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't get inside of your heart and open up every closet of every room in your heart and know what you need to pray about. But, my friend, I am confident of this, that if your heart was soft and palatable and you were attentive to the message today, that whatever that need is, God put His finger on it. And now I'm going to encourage you as your pastor to quit worrying about other people. And now is the accepted time. Now is the time to come down and pray about that thing. Won't you come down here and pray? You have a good Heavenly Father. He desires to help you. Won't you come and unload that prayer, that burden, that need to God? I'm going to pray. The altar's going to be open and the invitation is going to start. I urge you to come.